Thanks so much, guys, for joining us to talk about the cool things that you are doing on Windows Azure. Before we get going, and I've been reading a lot of good stuff, and I've seen some of the things that you do, but why don't we start off by you guys telling us sort of what are you guys doing with Windows Azure, and what are some of the cool and innovative ways that you're using Windows Azure for your particular product?
Hi, thanks for having us. I'm Jeff King from Agile Business Cloud. We're doing logging and instrumentation of applications on Windows Azure. So we provide our clients with libraries so that we can instrument their applications, show them where the bottlenecks, errors are coming from, and also just standard messages.
Hi, I'm Jamie. And also kind of like an innovative twist to that is that we also provide real-time graphing with performance messages and throughput.
Cool. And then how are you guys using Azure?
So we use Azure for an ASP.NET application that runs a bunch of WCF services as well as MVC. We then go into HTML5 and JavaScript for the client.
Well, that's cool. So actually HTML5, that's not something that most people actually put together with Azure. So how are you guys, or what was the logic behind connecting your HTML5 front end with Azure? Are you finding that that's actually, a good thing to do, a bad thing to do?
So right now we use a bit of like real-time wraps where we connect to our WCF services, which pumps all the data through our client. And that data is stored through cable storage.
Cool. And so then your site and the services, I'm assuming, are actually hosted on compute instances, and you're using, you mentioned storage. Any other parts of the Azure platform that you guys are using?
Yeah, so primarily right now our workload is on web roles, which are Windows Azure compute instances. And most of our data is stored in Azure table storage. And we use that because it's just really great for the type of data that logging data is. So it's fairly flat, but we hold all the data within a data model. Straightforward.
Cool. And when you guys were thinking about this particular product, and obviously it's meant for Azure-based applications and so on and so forth, but you didn't have to put your infrastructure on Azure. So what was the rationale of sort of architecting your solution so that it uses itself, it uses Windows Azure?
Yeah, so we started down this path primarily because of the idea of scale here and just being able to guarantee uptime. So Windows Azure gives us a lot of different possibilities around scale and also guarantees an SLA that we're very comfortable with. So those things really helped us move to the platform. And we really see it as very positive thus far on the platform.
And then as .NET developers yourself, before you guys were doing, you were working on this particular product and you were, moving to Azure and whatnot, from being .NET developers, was it a steep learning curve to kind of get yourselves up and running and sort of knowing what's going on with the Azure platform and then using it?
We found lots of useful help on MSDN and around the communities that support Azure developers. So finding the right amount of information to get onto the platform isn't that challenging. Also, the integration within like Visual Studio and the tools that I guess we're most familiar with made it kind of extremely easy to get on there and start testing and deploying and seeing what Azure is all about.
Cool. And actually, Jamie, before we were here and talking to each other right now, you had mentioned that you actually come from a Node.js background. What was that like for you, starting to work with Node.js and Azure?
Absolutely. So like when they did release the Node.js SDK for Windows Azure, I dove right into it, followed some of the directions. Within 3 hours, I had an instance talking to table storage, no problem.
Yeah. Wow, so literally that easy, 3 hours and you're good to go.
Absolutely, yeah.
And we've worked with other companies too for ASP.NET and SQL Server traditional hosted websites and help them get them on Azure. And we typically find that within 2, 3, 4 hours, we can have their site running on Azure.
Now, of course, I'm assuming within 3 or 4 hours, you're not necessarily using all of the components of the platform, but, you know, I guess you basically, you could just forklift sites from their existing infrastructure and put them on Azure. Is that sort of the idea?
Exactly. So that gives you a good sense of, I guess, like what I would call kind of a prototype, where you get to see if there are any issues with your application, you know, get to really test it out through and through. I mean, part two, moving any application to Azure, in my mind, is really looking at all the new and interesting benefits that your application can gain from being there.
Cool. And then as you're going through this process, and I'm assuming, I would assume that you hit some sort of hurdles or kind of different gotchas that weren't necessarily documented, or maybe they were documented, but you sort of experienced it a little bit differently, or even just things that you sort of had to wrap your head around. So if I was a new developer coming onto the platform, and, you know, what would be some of those I learned the hard way, so I'm going to tell you ahead of time type of things that you'd want to share with developers?
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the big ones is just making sure that your web app is stateless. And that really, you need to do that because you're going to be running more than one web server here, so you're definitely going to have, like, what you traditionally think of as a web farm. So there's things like that you definitely need to be aware of and start thinking about when you are moving applications into Azure. I think that a lot of these things that Azure kind of makes you do that might be initial gotchas, it's really like best practice kind of mentality.
Yeah, it's a paradigm shift.
Yeah, and there's a lot of help, you know, on the internet about what statelessness is, and then also specifically to Azure, you know, what are the problems you may encounter there.
And different things like, I'm assuming, getting your head around how table storage works and stuff like that. That's sort of what you're talking about?
Yeah, for me, I mean, moving into table storage, I've been obviously pretty heavy into SQL, you know, MySQL, SQL Server, whatever it is, but relational data models. And moving into table storage is quite different. I find that, you know, it's a lot more simple, but there's a few things that you need to think about when you're designing what a table looks like. It's a lot flatter structure, and you have, I guess, less ways to reference the data. So you have to think about that up front.
Cool. And Jamie, how about you? What were some of the hurdles that you kind of experienced that you'd want people to know ahead of time?
So from a Node.js perspective, I think I ran into one little hurdle where you would have your NPM modules in a certain place, but you just end up packaging it in the same directory, and then you're good to go. But that's pretty much it. Everything else is pretty awesome.
Well, I mean, you guys make it sound like it's just that easy, or is it just me? Right? Is it actually just that easy?
I think that the tooling around it, if you're used to Visual Studio and you're used to ASP.NET and things, that the tooling makes it really easy to start running your application and testing it. And you can do that with a set of emulators also, so you can just do it on your desktop. You don't necessarily have to upload it to Azure. Obviously, you'll gain more experience and benefit from when you actually get your application on Azure. But
there are supports too.
Yeah. So, and then the community around technologies like PHP and Node.js and things like that are really, you know, growing. And they're really helpful around, you know, moving Node.js to Azure or working with Java or PHP on Azure.
Cool. And then, I mean, I always go around when I'm doing presentations and these types of interviews and stuff like that, and I say to people, you know what? We could talk about this all day long, but the truth of the matter is that the easiest way to learn this stuff is actually by diving in. And people kind of look at me and they say, well, you know, you sort of have to say that. What was the experience like for you, right? So you guys, you did some, obviously you watched some videos, you did some learning, but then what? Like, do you do things locally or do you just dive in and start building and deploying?
It's definitely a shared thing. So, I mean, we'll do things locally and then we'll also do things within Azure. I guess initially when I first started doing work within Azure, I was writing an application that was very straightforward. It was basically like a Windows Server service with SQL Azure backend. And it was just really easy to port a Windows service into Azure and start using SQL Azure. The big thing though that I came away from that was, you know, looking at all the other ways to integrate with Azure. So, you know, it's starting to think about table storage, starting to think about caching service, starting to look at traffic manager. There's a lot of different technologies there that you can then leverage.
So if I'm hearing you correctly, then you're basically suggesting go full in, and then, but with what you know today, and then slowly but surely kind of start looking at the different pieces, integrate those, test those, and then move on to a next piece. Is that sort of what you would recommend?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's good to kind of think of Azure, look at it as, you know, look at the overview of what the technologies are that are there. And then depending on, you know, what kind of data you have or what your workloads are like, then you can start targeting the ones that really make sense. You know, I think that like something like caching, you know, most people can see the benefit from that right away. And it's something that they, you know, might be naturally drawn to. And, you know, over time, you'll get more and more of those items in your tool belt and you'll be able to make extremely robust applications.
Cool. And then, so what's next for you guys with the Azure platform? Where are you going? What kind of services are you looking to do? And actually, more importantly, why look to do them?
So we're really interested in using WebSockets. I'll let Jamie kind of take that.
So yeah, WebSockets would allow us to kind of push in real time to our client or to our clients with HTML front ends. Not only that, though, I mean, going from web to also into mobile and also tablets. Since we are using HTML5.
Cool.
So it'd be interesting to introduce better tooling on mobile devices as well. Since there's a Node.js SDK as well as a PHP and Java SDK, we can also expand our logging into those different technologies as well.
That's awesome. And then how about, because obviously you're talking about massive data files and stuff like that, are you looking at content delivery network at all? And if so, where do you see the benefits of that for you guys?
For sure. I mean, when we're talking about the historical data that we'll have, the data that has been logged like yesterday, we can get a lot of benefits from pre-processing that into like JSON-B and then just sitting it in blobs. Blobs then are easily mapped to the CDN. So our clients, if they're processing historical data, it just becomes, you know, more and more rapid for their download and really easy for us to build that framework.
Cool. Well, it sounds really interesting. I look forward to, I guess, continuing to see how you guys are doing, and hopefully we can do one of these discussions a little bit later on as you're using more of the platform. But in the meantime, thanks so much, guys, for joining us and sharing your story. And we look forward to hearing lots more in the future.
Thank you.
Thank you.